This morning, I want us to go back to the cross. Now, of course, this being Easter Sunday, the religious world in general describes this as the day that Jesus rose from the dead. We don't know what day that was, but we do know that he rose from the dead. And we do know that he went to the cross for us. He gave his life for us on that day. And we know that we have wonderful benefits because of what he did there. The facts of the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection is the very heart of Christianity. Paul wrote to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." My friends, this event, this one single event, is by far the most significant thing that has ever happened in this world. It is the most significant thing that will ever happen in this world. You know, there are many events that have taken place, maybe even within our lifetime, but definitely within the history of mankind, very significant things that have changed history, particularly for those who have followed God. For example, we see here Moses on Mount Horeb, standing before the burning bush. The burning bush here represents maybe the holiness of God as he approaches Moses with the idea of going to set his people free from Egyptian bondage. This was indeed a significant event that took place in the history of mankind. And then we have here on Mount Pisgah, this is overlooking the promised land, which again was promised by God to the children of Israel. By freeing them from Egyptian bondage, they were given this wonderful place by God. And then we have this place, Mount Sinai, which is where God handed to Moses the Ten Commandments, the old law that they lived by up until the time of Christ. It represents maybe the power and the authority of God to give man direction so that he will know which direction to go. All of these events are so significant for mankind because God had a wonderful part in each one of them. But my friend, these events are pale when you compare it to Calvary. You see, the cross is God's supreme declaration to man for life. It is God's supreme declaration to man for forgiveness. The cross represents every need, every dream that man has. And God has given us these dreams. He has given us these promises. And it came from Calvary. It came from his only son being nailed to that cross. Today I want to talk about the cross. Today I want to talk about some of the things that the cross speaks to you and me. Some of the things that it tells us about ourselves. Things that we need to know about ourselves. Things that we need to know about God and what he has done for us by sending his son to this place in Golgotha. First of all, I want to suggest to you that the cross speaks of man's guilt. I don't know if you ever thought of yourself as being guilty or not. I don't like to think of myself as a person who is burdened down with guilt. Now, I know for an absolute fact that I am guilty of many things. I have done many things contrary to the Word of God. But I am speaking to a group of people who are also guilty of doing many things against the God that we serve. We are all guilty of these things. But you know, when we think of our guilt, We have to understand that all are guilty. We all possess this guilt. Paul, in speaking in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, speaking to the Romans, he said, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Do you know who he's talking about here? It says that he is talking about both Jews and Greeks. But do you know who he's really talking about? Me and you. We all are guilty of this sin. And because he goes on to say in verse 23, all have done it. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now some of you may be sitting here and you may be thinking, well, you know, I may do a little sin here and there, and I may tell a little white lie, and I may do a little something, but I'm no murderer. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a robber. I don't do any of these things. Well, maybe not. But that doesn't change the fact that at one time, more than one time in your life, you have gone against God. Every one of us have done it. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. From the time that Adam and Eve was introduced to sin in the world, it has been man's propensity to sin. And we have all been led astray from that point in time. And God knew this. God knew the devil that did it to us. And from that moment on, from the very first of time, God made a plan to save us. We can go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we can see that plan as it begins to unfold. God's salvation to redeem us from the sin that Satan has put upon us. The golden verse of the Bible tells us he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did God need to do this? God needed to do this because of something Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. He said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of all of us. We did it, folks, and we have done it to ourselves. And God knew that he had to do something to take away that guilt. And this is the reason that Jesus went to the cross to remove our guilt. And you know, we can't deny that fact. Oh, there's a lot of people who try to deny the fact that they sin. They won't admit it. Never would, never will. But yet it is there. But you know, John tells us in 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, we lie because we do have sin. And then on down in verse 10 we read, if we say that we have not sinned, we not only lie to ourselves, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. No one is immune. The cross says to every one of us, you have all done wrong. You are all guilty of sin. But then this same cross also tells us of God's righteousness. God's righteousness and God's justice. Let's continue reading in Romans chapter 3 from where we just ended at verse 23. Let's begin at verse 24. For being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate that at present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, God told Adam that because of his sin, because of his disobedience, he would surely die. Now, I'm not sure that Adam probably didn't really understand what God was saying to him. We don't know if physical death had ever occurred to the animal life before this time. We don't know. Probably not. He did not understand the non-existence of life. But God wasn't talking about physical death here. God was not talking about when we experience physical death or when the animal life experiences physical death. He was talking about spiritual death. Adam, if you disobey me, you will surely die. Ezekiel said, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the soul that sins shall die. Notice he didn't say the man that sins. Notice he didn't say the body that sins. He said the soul that sins. Now we all know that the soul is spiritual. So if the soul that sins dies, it is going to be a spiritual death. And then Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 6 verse 23 about this death. It's because of the wages of sin. Sin causes the soul to die. And we need to understand that if God is going to be a God of justice, he couldn't just save one sinner from death. He had to be able to save every sinner from death. Now we know that throughout the old law, the Old Testament era, God has always been able to forgive sin. But the law itself could not. In the New Testament times of Jesus Christ, which was under the old law, Jesus forgave sin. He had that power, but the law could not. So God devised a plan that would save the sin of those who believe, the sin of those who obey, and at the same time, not save the rebels. And he did it through the cross of Jesus. If you believe that I am he, you will be saved from your sins. That, my friends, is the way of the cross. And then, of course, the cross speaks of man's helplessness. You know, yes, it does declare that man is guilty before God. The cross also declares that something must be done for man to be saved. But the cross so shows that man could not deliver himself. There is nothing, friends, that you and I can do to remove our sin. We cannot remove our sins from ourselves. We cannot remove our sins from one another. We do not have that power. The only power there is to save man from his sins comes from the cross, because man simply cannot do it. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. That he by the grace of God should taste of death for every man. Who's going to taste death for every man? God's Son is going to taste death for every man. Why? Because man can't do it. You know, sometimes we get the idea that if we do something good, God's going to look upon us with favor. And he does. But then we get to thinking, if I keep on doing good and I keep on doing the works, and by my own efforts, by my own hands, by my own mouth, by my own body, that I can do the things and remove the sin from my life. Wrong. We cannot do that. If one could do all the works to remove sin, Jesus would not have had to come. There would be no power in removing sin. But Jesus did have to come. There had to be power to remove sin. Keeping the rules is never enough. You know, Paul explains this in a unique way. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 21, he said, "For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law." If there could have been a law to forgive us, that's what we would follow. But God made it clear that this law cannot. In fact, we go on to verse 22. It says in the script that the scripture, the old law, it confined us all under sin. It couldn't take it away. So the law is not the answer. Romans 3 verse 20. "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." What did the old law do? It condemned. It told you everything that you did wrong. And it punished for wrongdoing throughout the old law, because that's all it could do. So the law was not the answer. The cross tells you and me today, my friends, we can't do it. Mankind can't do it. The old law couldn't do it. But what can? The cross. The cross was set up by the grace of God. Which brings us to our next point. The cross speaks of God's power to save. God's what? God's power. We understand power, don't we? We all have a certain amount of power within ourselves. We get into our car, we'll start it, we'll drive home. You know how we'll get there? Power. When we go home, if we have to turn the lights on, you know what's going to do it for us? Power. Everything, we surround ourselves with power. I want to tell you something, my friends. We have power, but we don't have enough power to save ourselves. It takes the power of God. I love this verse. Yep, when I get to it. There we go. Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Power. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." It goes on to say, "for both the Jews and the Greeks." You know what he's really telling us? He has the power to save you and me. Now, listen to what this power can actually do for you. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." The law, now we're free from that law, which did what? It condemned. Now we have the grace of God, we have the power of the cross, we have Jesus Christ, which there is no condemnation. This is what God did for us. And the reason he had to do it, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Do you know that if Jesus Christ had just come down to this earth, went straight to the cross, nailed to the cross, died on the cross, sins would not have been forgiven? You know why? He had to come in the likeness of sinful man. He had to walk this earth the same way that you and I have to walk this earth. He had to face every temptation that you and I have to face every day of our lives. And he said no to every one of them when you and I cannot. If he had not done that, his trip to the cross would have been in vain. But he did come to this earth. He did live that life of perfection. He did say no to sin on every account. And that's why he could go to that cross. That's why he could be nailed to that cross and hang on that cross as a sin, as a man who did not sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. The cross tells us, oh, there's a way out. It has been provided by God through Jesus Christ. There is a way out. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And God has the power to save us. And again, it is through Jesus Christ. Then finally, the cross speaks of the needs of man's obedience. You know, as we look at the cross, we see that mockery of a trial. Jesus standing before Pilate. He didn't have a chance to be acquitted. He was going to be found guilty. The beatings that took place at that time, the cruelty, the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head, the shame of being carrying his own cross to be crucified, the torture of the nails being driven into his hands and feet, the cruelty of hanging on that cross that day. When we think of these things, and we think of all of the suffering that he did for you and me, we are reminded of something about that cross. And it comes from the Hebrew writer, chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, not only was he a son, he was the Son of God. He learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who will obey him. He was the Son of God. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. And he stayed there until he died so that you and I could be free. You know, according to the Apostle Paul, it took that death. It took that burial. And it took that resurrection for you and I to be freed from sin. And he also tells us that we have to reenact that in our lives. Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, we are baptized into that death. We are buried with him in that baptism. And we are raised to walk in newness of life. Most of us in this room have done that. You may be here today and you have not. And we need to tell you this morning, my friends, that you have to reenact what Jesus did on that cross. By going down into that watery grave and coming up a new creature in Christ. You see, the cross tells us that if we want the blessings that God has given to us, what God has promised us, we must obey Him. We must live a life of obedience to Him because He came and lived a life of obedience to His Father. I want to declare to you today, my friends, that the cross is speaking to you. It tells you of your guilt. It tells you of God's righteousness. It tells you that you are helpless without God. It tells you that God has the saving power to save your soul. And the way we get that salvation is by submitting to Him. By coming to Him in faith. By changing our life through the repentance of sin. By acknowledging Him and confessing Him as God's Son, the one who went to the cross, the one who had the power. And going down into that watery grave of baptism, reenacting that cross on Calvary. coming up from that grave as a new creature, as Jesus arose from the dead on that third day. It tells you that you need to submit to God in this way. We're going to sing the song, "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." And it does. If you're here today, my friend, and you are not a Christian, the only way that you can have salvation is through the cross. Come to the cross, and you can find your home. It is the way home for the alien sinner. It is the way home for the erring child of God. Erring child of God, you've been to the cross. You gave your life. And you gave it to God. But now you may have given it back to the world. God can still save you, but you still have to come back to that cross. The way of the cross leads home. Find your way home today. Come to the cross of Jesus as we stand to sing this song.